Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Obviously, last weekend was special, and as you well know, not in Coach Speak terms, focus and move forward and ready for this upcoming weekend.
Yeah. No, I'll do grades this week. I'll throw an A out there. We can throw grades out the window. I just need to ask you: did you have a good time Saturday? Because I sure as hell did in that stadium.
Hey, the fans were amazing. The players were amazing. Let's just say, I don't think I felt comfortable at all until actually made it to the locker room. But just a thrilling way, and I think it speaks volumes about the type of young men we have within our program, right? And some people talked about the culture and those things, but they weigh the belief, the grit, and I think what happened was our fans got to see it, and it kind of showcases what our community is all about, right? Like, I love the fact that people, like, man, the Memphis people just, your team believes, they fight, and guess what? That's the whole city, and that's what you want, and the national audience got to see it, and so couldn't be more proud.
How proud of are you in your team in regards to just how many different guys showed up on film? Not necessarily the guys that are expected to show up in that big type of way when we're talking about the fan base and who they've become accustomed to. But you just look at how many guys showed up on film. That was amazing to me, at least, just watching.
Yeah, absolutely, Gabe. Well, I think that's huge. I think that it shows the depth we've had that I've been talking about. It also shows we're not just reliant on one player, right? Like, a lot of times last year, it was like, well, what are you going to do without Chandler Martin? Well, we've played seven linebackers here this year, and they're doing some good things. People, what are you going to do at wide receiver? Well, we've seen a bunch of guys step up, which has been great. Multiple guys on the defensive line. I mean, shoot, earlier than I wanted to be in the season, but we've had 10 guys in the defensive backfield play already. But that's okay. That means we got guys that we trust and they can step up and make plays. So I've been quite pleased with that.
All right. Now, Arrington Maiden, what are you feeding him to have him have that 11-yard run and basically carry that 387-pound, 390-pound defensive tackle over the first down line and basically ice that game?
I told our strength coach, I said, I'm glad we still do squats in season. It clearly shows. So, that was phenomenal. I think it just, the will of that young man to find a way. He understood what was being asked of him. He understood what was on the line. And sure enough, those feet didn't stop turning and couldn't be more happy.
Yeah, and I heard you talk about that play after the game. That was supposed to be a give the whole way? That was a little bit of acting on his own accord.
He had the option.
Okay.
It was a very, very limited option, and thank goodness he got it, because if he got tackled for a loss, we wouldn't have heard from him much lately.
Yeah.
No, look, he made the right decision, and sure enough, actually, the running back kind of led the way on some of the blocking, which helped.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was a read option. Usually you take that around the end, read the end. He sort of followed where the normal inside zone track would be there on that read option.
Yeah, not a whole lot of quarterback dive plays that worked on this.
I was going to say, well, maybe all that practicing for Navy and the triple option, maybe that worked out for him if he's ever played a scout team quarterback. that
no
week.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Exactly right. Hold the A gap. Here we go.
Yeah, for sure. All right, now, I'm very curious about this because one guy who's probably been on campus the least amount of time really showed through. And his name, Cortez Bram. 7 catches, 102 yards, and a touchdown. And I will say this, the thing that really stuck out to me about him is on that go-ahead touchdown by Sutton Smith, he really had the springing block, staying on his block downfield on the corner that was matched up against him. How locked in has he been since getting on campus? To have a day like that with only being on campus for, what, 2 months at this point? How locked in has he been from day one being on campus?
Yeah, I had to point out the fact that we have a track right behind our weight room the other day to him. He's like, what? What are you talking about? I was like, yeah, it's just right looking through that window. He's like, oh, my goodness. To get here 10 days before the season, you know, opener, that just speaks volumes about his intelligence, his work ethic. The dude loves football. Let's just call it what it is. And that's, you know, NFL scouts have been asking, like, you know, he's learned 90% of this offense already and couldn't be more proud. He works so hard at it. And what I appreciate about the guy, he comes up to me, he's like, man, coach, I love it here. I love these fans. I love everything we do. He's like, why didn't you come get me, you know, 4 years ago? I'm like, well, that's not how this works. But
right.
He's been great, and he's been fun. He loves this place, and clearly a phenomenal football player.
All right, now, I will say this. It looked like it meant a whole lot to your quarterback, Brendan Lewis. After the final play, after the clock hit zero, he dropped to his knees, sort of looked up. I don't know, thanking God or whatever it was, and I can't say I blame him in the slightest. And I'll say this, you don't have to say this, but he's been through a lot of football misery in his days in college football. A lot of losing to this point, not necessarily his fault by any stretch of the imagination, just been some tough situations for him. But how much did it mean to him to be in that scenario, in that situation, and pull out a win for his team?
Well, I think you look at it, and you know, part of it when we recruited him and looked at him was like, man, this guy has not won a lot of football games. And you always want a quarterback that's a winner, right? Because ultimately, you always say that that's the guy that drives the bus, and they're the ones that lead. But to his credit, we saw enough skill set and the ability to find ways to win football games, even though it hasn't shown up in the win column for him as a quarterback at previous institutions. And no knock on any place. But the whole deal is, okay, let's surround him with the right people. Let's put him in the right system. Let's find ways. And, you know, the biggest knock, I believe, from everybody was like, well, he hadn't won any football games. Why would we bring him here? And I think, I hope Tiger fans are quite happy with the work he's put in. I'm just telling you, the guy works his tail off. Summer Cortez just loves football, wants to be a part of this program. I mean, he's just grateful. And if you, you know, you talk to him, he's honored to be here. He takes great privilege and holds it in high regard to be the quarterback of this program. And I think all of a sudden, you know, like clearly the biggest win of his career, you know, especially on national stage. So couldn't be more thrilled for him. What I love about him is that night he texts me, he's like, all right, tell me about FAU.
And, right.
That's exactly what you want in your quarterback.
Yeah, now I know it's a different offense, different set of circumstances, but how big is the former relationship that Brendan and Cortez had at Nevada? And does that seem to be showing through for you? Because it seems that way to the fan base, no doubt.
Well, I think that there's part of that, right? You talk about the chemistry. I don't think had we maybe had a different quarterback back there, you know, a receiver coming in with 10 days would have that same chemistry, right? And I think that's a huge part of it, clearly, because those two had been working together for a few years and understand, you know, hey, when his hips drop here, this is what it's going to look like, or hey, this is how the digs look, or on the go ball, this is where I need to throw it. And I think that's huge because, yes, even though Brendan's been here since January and gotten great work with a lot of we've had a few other receivers that showed up in the spring. But I do think that that's a huge part of it, and that trust factor. And don't get me wrong, obviously he's a fantastic football player, so you tie that all in together. and we're seeing some good things produced on Saturdays.
All right, now, real quick, I just want to sort of pick your brain on this, because I was looking just around the country at, you know, teams that are very transfer portal heavy versus teams that have a lot of continuity, and not saying every team that has a bunch of continuity and a bunch of returning production is struggling, but you see a couple of teams out there. A Clemson, for example, is a team that's struggling that has a lot of continuity, but I looked at, and I know that, you know, portal rankings and recruiting rankings don't necessarily matter. They have to be, you know, developed when they get on campus. But you guys have a lot of portal additions from this year. But top seven transfer portal recruiting classes from last year are 27-0 at this moment. Like, when you manage sort of continuity versus going into the transfer portal and just turning over a roster, like, how does that look in today's day and age? I know it's still tough to develop these guys when they get on campus, but it seems like these teams that are being a little bit more portal heavy and getting some good guys out of the portal are having a lot of success early this season.
You know, Gabe, that's a great question. And I get asked, you know, people are like, oh, well, you got to give that team time. They've got 70 new players. Well, no one's saying that to us, right? I think we got 71 new players, and you got to win now, and I think that's a great thing. But how we've looked at it is we still want to retain the players we think fit what we do. Ultimately, it's all said and done. There are young men on this program that still need to be developed that are young, but they're the right type of fit for our culture and our community and do what we ask them to do. And so I tell our coaches, we're not just going to get rid of people. We've got to develop them, and it's our job to continue to grow, because they may help us next year, right? They may help us in 16 months. And so we still believe in doing that. We're still going to sign a full high school class. In fact, we may sign over the normal 25 that we did in the past, just because I still believe that that's a great way to continue to build up a team. But then, you know, you do look at a portal, and people think, oh, you bring in a portal guy, he's got to start right away. We have, obviously, when you bring in 70 transfers, they're not all starting, right? We got guys that have come from major programs that were in playoffs, and guys that have come from FCS, and some are playing and some aren't. But I think that's just the whole deal is this. When they come here, and I mentioned this previously, is, you know, we truly do, and this is not coach speak, Gabe. Like, we set a standard. We tell them, this is the way we work. This is how you do things, right? You're going to get your degree. You're going to go to class. You're going to work really hard. You're going to do right in society. And we're going to practice really hard, and we're going to hold you accountable. Do you want that? And if a kid hesitates, hey, look, I wish you the best. I don't care how talented they are, and a lot of those guys have gone on to play for other teams and have success, and a lot have gone on to be failures. But ultimately, we know we're bringing guys that we can coach and pour into and love. And I think when it's all said and done, that's why people say, man, it looks like your team plays hard and they play close, and they actually seem like a real team when you have 120 guys out there. And I take more pride in that than anything else. And credit to our coaches and the support staff, because we got everybody giving everything they can every single day to these young men, and they're giving it right back.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, it's great to get a win like you did on Saturday, but now the rub with that is it's managing expectations from here on out. You go check ESPN FPI, you see all the percentages to make the playoff and win the conference. So these expectations are sky high. What have you told your team? What have you tried to impart on your team this week to sort of keep them out of maybe their own headlines, that type of thing, to manage these expectations and deal with being the team being chased the rest of the year?
Sure. If you sat in Sunday's team meeting, you felt we would have gotten our tails kicked by Arkansas. We have not accomplished a damn thing. We have not done anything that we've set out to do. They're not giving out ribbons for being 4-0 or being an SEC team. That's great, but that doesn't mean a single thing. We haven't accomplished crap, myself included. And if we don't put on our blinders and focus on the task at hand, and that's winning every single week, one day at a time, then nobody's going to be happy when it's all said and done. So, you know, I'm all social media. I tell the guys, quit reading the damn headlines, and none of that stuff matters. The same people that are going to pat you on the back, they're going to stab you in the back. So just focus on being the best version of yourself every single day and going out there and having the best practice. And I think we've got good buy-in, right? I don't, you know, unfortunately, I appreciate doing the media stuff. That's the only time that we're talking about the game last Saturday. Because it's 1,000% focused, because our goal all along has been to win the conference. And the only way we can do that is by winning the first conference game at FAU, right? They're coming off a bye. We got to play a night game. It's our furthest travel. It's on a grass surface. All the different things, the challenges that come with that. And I went back and I said, I don't like talking about the past, but we go and we beat Florida State last year, big win, and then we go and get beat by Navy, right? A few years prior to that, we go and beat Mississippi State here, and then we go and lose to Tulsa. So if you're sitting there looking in the rearview mirror, you know, you're going to go right through the windshield because you're not paying attention to what's right in front of you. And so I've been pleased with the guys' approach. I think it's, you know, we talk about being all in. I think that elite focus is there. But the only way we can tell is when that clock strikes double zeros at the end of the fourth quarter Saturday night to make sure we really handled our business.
Now, well, what are you seeing from Florida Atlantic? One thing that I will say that I was paying attention to going into this season is they do have a very talented quarterback in Caden Veldkamp, who's been at Western Kentucky before that. Obviously, they're 1-2. I don't think they are very happy with the way they started, but of course, they're coming off the bye, and they are a very talented team when you just look sort of top to bottom on their roster.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it, they're heavy in the transfer portal, and obviously a lot of guys from South Florida that, you know, may not have worked at some of these schools say, you know what, I'd rather return back home and go there, and they've had success in the past. But the biggest thing about them is they are very, very up-tempo. It's the youngest head coach in college football. He was the OC at Texas Tech. He's an offensive guru. He's put up points everywhere. He's been top 10 offenses every single week. You can see why he was able to get a head coaching job at such a young age. We have not faced the tempo offense, so we got to get ready. I mean, they're going to run spots and bubbles, and then next thing you know, they're going to run double moves, and there you go, touchdown. So we've got to be prepared for that. And then coming off a bye, right, they've run three different defensive schemes so far again. So we have to have our mind ready for what are they going to do. I mean, it's going to be getting a feel for how this defense coordinator plans to attack us, make the necessary adjustments, and then go out there and play Memphis Tiger football.
Yeah, and I would also take it that last time that University of Memphis played in that stadium there in Boca, FAU Stadium was in 2020 with the Montgomery Bowl, the relocated Fenway Bowl. I would assume that no one is left over besides yourself and some of your staff that have made that trip.
Yeah, it's and you and I also remember going down there and playing.
Hey, you don't have to mention that, Coach. We don't have to talk about that game. That wasn't a fun one in 2016, old Boca Raton Bowl.
No, got our teeth kicked in, but hopefully better memories. So, look, we're excited for the next opportunity. We know what's at stake, but, you know, look, this is the conference game, and this is huge, and this has bigger implications than what occurred last Saturday. So we're just going to take our best effort.
For sure. Well, I'll let you roll, Coach. I appreciate it, and good luck this weekend.
Absolutely, as always. Thanks, Gabe. Go Tigers, go.
Yes, sir. He is Ryan Silverfield, head football coach over at the University of Memphis on X at R Silverfield. Now, on that note, it is time for the Blitz. And in the Blitz today, we have Big Ten travel complaints, jersey patch talk.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I'd like to be the first to welcome Brad Carson on down to the Blitz.
Thanks for having me.
Brad, good to see you.
Hey, it's good to be had. You know, we're busy in the back room over here. We've got a lot of executive-level meetings for the Grizzlies. You know, Connor's been in this new marketing role, so I appreciate you.
Did you have any say on the promo schedule for the Grizzlies this year?
You know,
we got the Call 12 cell phones, the first 3,500.
I thought that was creative.
I think that, obviously, fan appreciation nights, just the posters to everybody.
Well, you know, I think...
superhero lunchboxes for John Jaren.
Jason and John...
I could bring that up here and, eat my lunch out of it, have my PB&J in there.
Jason and John were disparaging the old magnet schedules, and I said to them, love the magnet schedules.
I like the magnet schedule. I always put it on my fridge.
First thing I do.
But here's the thing. For the first three games, that's the giveaway.
Yeah, it's for the preseason. That's a very solid preseason. I'm going to go see the Pistons game on October 6th. I'm going to listen to the pregame on 92.9. I'll listen to the postgame on 92.9, and I'll see the game. And,
I just wanted to mention, first three, the preseason games, it's all scheduled.
See Cade Cunningham and see what we can do, and I'll get my preseason, my schedule, my magnet schedule.
Yeah, but right now we do have some college football to discuss.
Yeah, let me hit the first blitz item number one. Item number one, we go to Lincoln Riley. Lincoln Riley. Is this what we're starting with, Gabe?
Yes, this is what we're doing.
Here's the quote from Lincoln Riley. He isn't thrilled about going to USC's early kickoff. It's in the Central time zone, so it's not like...
Champaign, Illinois.
Yeah, it's my part of the woods, sort of where I grew up there. Going from the absolute latest kick in the country to the absolute earliest kick in the country has its challenges, he says. But the challenge is, it is what it is. We don't make the schedules, clearly. Lincoln Riley's trip at 11:30 kickoff at Illinois.
Yeah, buddy, I don't feel sorry for you. First of all, it's been 7 days. Get over it. You're acting like the late kick is still affecting you on a Friday and Saturday. No, it's not. They've had plenty of time to rest. You have Monday off. Just stop the nonsense. Also, if only there was a way, Brad, for a university to not have to travel so much and to have sort of uniform times that they kick off with regional opponents. If only there was a way for that to happen.
No.
But USC decided to join the Big Ten, and you have coast-to-coast scheduling and coast-to-coast opponents.
Yep.
I'm sorry. Save me the tears. I don't really care, Lincoln. If you want to be taken seriously, go into Champaign, Illinois, and beat Illinois, who just lost, by the way, last week 63-10 to Indiana. Your offense should be humming. I don't think you have much of an excuse. 11 a.m., 10 p.m., whatever it is.
Yeah.
You need to have that offense humming. You need to win that ball game if you want to be taken seriously. And really, quite frankly, if you don't want to be sort of on that warm seat, hot seat there at USC. Also, I do want to point this out. He is factually incorrect with his kickoff time last week. Factually incorrect. Yes, it was not the absolute latest kickoff.
Yeah.
That goes to Hawaii when they're at home every single week. So shut up.
Yeah.
We weren't the absolute latest. I just feel like, Brad, I know coaches have this arrogance about them. I know they speak their mind, but this does to me feel like a built-in excuse for his team if they do not perform up to snuff at 11 a.m. Central Time against Illinois on Saturday.
So I listened to the Indiana-Illinois game, and I was pretty blown away by what Indiana was able to do against Illinois. And I think it was a combination that Indiana's maybe a little better than we thought, but it does seem like Altmyer and that offense, if you've got a real legit defense, you can shut them down a little bit.
Yeah.
And now at USC, they're ranked higher than Illinois. They're favored by 6.5-point favorite. There's no reason why they shouldn't be able to go in and win this game. I think they're probably the better team. But I don't know if they're a 6.5-point.
From a talent perspective, they are. They don't have the continuity. But we have seen in college football, continuity doesn't seem to matter as much as it once did.
No, I don't think it does as much.
Truthfully.
I mean, well, even Memphis. Look how good Memphis looks, and they've turned a lot of that roster over.
And my favorite stat, top seven recruiting classes in the transfer portal, according to 247 last season, the guys that are on campus right now, those seven teams are 27-0 through the early
season. And I think this is why the Nick Sabans of the world, and maybe soon the Dabo Sweeney's of the world, are getting out of this business, because it's like, if you're going to effectively do this, and you would know this better than I would, the game has changed. Like, it's different than the 4 years, 5 years you were at Memphis. It's a situation where if you're not able to deal with roster turnover and basically, you know, figure it out on the fly, like, you're going
to
be
There's some years where you have to turn over 70 players, and you just have to live with it, roll with the punches. Now, for SC, I think they'll win this game, even on the road against
Illinois. I do, too, yes.
Because I don't think Illinois, while it can be kind of sleepy in Champaign at 11 a.m.
You think?
Like, it kind of lull you to sleep.
I've had those margaritas.
Right. I don't think Illinois is very hard to play at.
I agree with that.
And I do believe this USC offense can do, maybe not score 63 points like Indiana did, but they have very similar.
Yeah,
they have a very similar outlook when it comes to their offense. Really good quarterback in Jaden Maiava, a guy that I don't think is getting discussed enough. They have a running back in Wayman Jordan who, through four games, has run for 443 yards. So they're running the ball a whole lot better. Their O line's a whole lot better. Out on the outside, they're very, very good, and they've been doing it without their best wide receiver out there in Jacoby Lane, who's been dealing with injuries in the early going. So I think USC can put up as many points as possible, but what is their defense going to look like when they have to sit in there against some of those big sets that Illinois runs? And also, how do you contain Luke Altmyer? Because Luke Altmyer, while he didn't play well last week, no one on that team played well. He's very capable, and you have to pay attention to him, take him very seriously.
Ross Dellinger from Yahoo Sports reports legislation that would allow... Yes, here we go, Gabe. Sponsorship patches will be allowed to be added to college football jerseys as soon as next fall. Next year, the 2026 fall football schedule for NCAA D1 commissioners, and they're meeting and discussing this week. It's happening in Chicago, Gabe.
I want to ask you, because I'm sure I have a different take than the older crowd, truthfully. How do you feel about college athletics and sponsor patches on the jersey?
So Memphis this week, I got to see their FedEx on-field package.
Sure.
It looks super clean, right?
Yes,
you leave,
of course. Sideline.
Tigers, and you got a nice little logo. I think there's a middle ground here of where you go with this. It cannot look like an Argonauts jersey or a NASCAR jersey. You follow me?
Like, yeah, we don't need FedEx and then Lowe's and like all these different patches. I hear what you're saying.
One patch, it's like the NBA's
done. Yes.
Yeah, you get Nike, you get Love's truck stops if you're the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah.
If you're the Memphis Grizzlies, you might put FedEx on there. If you're, Harry's or a casino, whatever. One small logo, boom. But I'm afraid the way the college athletics are going, these suckers are going to look like a full armor tattoo at some point.
That is my concern.
How do you vary from the old school guys? You said you're fine with it.
I think there's a lot of older fans, and really, my buddy Colton Denning.
Yeah.
Okay, he's about my age. He's probably completely against this. Because they think of it as, you're selling out for the mighty dollar and blah, 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 blah. I think that certain universities need to sell out for the mighty dollar because they need to keep up. The University of Memphis, if they can get extra money by putting a Lowe's patch or a FedEx patch on their jersey, go do that. That helps you afford better players. That helps you get more money flowing through your program. That helps you with revenue sharing. And ultimately, all those things come together to make you a more... enticing partner for a bigger conference. So I think that like schools like Memphis, this is fine with me. I do get bothered by the idea, and I think we've discussed this before off air, like LSU and Alabama and Clemson, maybe not Clemson. We'll throw Clemson out to the side for a second. They're 1-3. Georgia. But like these schools that are already rich, like they are going to sell very expensive jersey patches, and they'll make even more money off what they're making than what they're making right now. And that's a little bit bothersome to me. I feel like the schools that obviously it should be legal for everybody. I don't think one university should be able to do it and the other one shouldn't. But it will bother me to a certain extent to see these big brands that probably don't need to make that extra money, make that extra money off a jersey.
But they're all going the extra level because every dollar is getting added to the till. And the reality is, like Mississippi State now, and Memphis is starting to do this too, much like concerts. So if you go see Journey, you get Journey tickets. Now Journey also sells the backstage pass. Colleges are now doing this. Hey, you can be part of the, you know, give us high five on the way out of the hot zone,
well,
you know?
Well, have you seen the Oklahoma thing this
year?
Yes. Where you can buy tickets to go participate.
You're on the field, right?
You're on the field, but you can also sit in on the post-game presser, like your media.
And that, you know, like, I think that's just the way this is going to be. We're getting to a point where it's going to be, you remember Rod Smart? I think it was he the football player in the XFL? He had He Hate Me on his jersey.
Yeah.
Like where you change your name for the sponsor. Like if Gabe Kuhn is sponsored by Callaway Golf, like your hat says,
right,
you might put Callaway on there instead of Kuhn on your jersey, you know?
Okay,
I'm trying to be an entrepreneurial spirit here for you.
To be honest, I think you've gone like, this is rabbit hole stuff. This is like slippery slope stuff you're going with, but like,
you know, I'm trying to market. I want some money here.
I could see the slippery slope of once you give them a jersey patch, what's stopping them from getting
what's
that second? What about the third? What about the fourth? What about instead of having Memphis on the front, they just straight up have FedEx? You know, like what?
FedEx University.
Yeah, what's
University of?
But like, I can get with those slippery slope arguments of okay, what's stopping them from continuing to go down this road and basically make the on field experience and the jerseys look completely different than they ever have.
It will continue to, and this is just a personal opinion. And this makes me an old head. It will continue. Forget if you like Alabama or not. Make the Alabamas of the world look good on the field because they did do the jerseys, and I don't think Saban wanted to put their names on it, if I recall.
Yeah.
Like, he was kind of like, it's more about the name on there.
the name on our jerseys.
It's the number. It's the number in the red. But it is nice when they have some of these clean uniforms, and they definitely stick out compared to sort of where we've gone with it. I think Memphis has done a good job with their cool unis, though. Like, they were way ahead on the stripe it up and the helmet variations. And they've done a really good job with their stuff. And the kids, I mean, younger people seem to love their stuff.
I have to say this. Since you brought up Memphis uniforms, this is something that's been on my mind since I got done at the university. Memphis, and they haven't worn it since the chrome domes. I kind of miss.
I like the chrome ones too. Those were good. Those were a classy looking look.
And I know that at that time, like chrome helmets were like popular, and they've kind of phased out of the game. And I don't know why exactly, but I miss those. I really do. I thought that was a slick look, and I think they could still do some good things with them.
I miss the chromes too. Those are good. Yep. Who is the AL MVP, Cal Raleigh or Aaron Judge, Gabe?
I'm sorry, it's Cal Raleigh, and I really don't want to hear it. I know what Aaron Judge did. He's I believe top five or top 10 in average. He's hit 51 home runs. I mean, he's unbelievable. But he wins the MVP every year. And when I look over at Cal Raleigh, I see a guy who has hit 60 home runs. He did it.
Yep. And he caught all those games, too. He caught all those games.
And he's a switch hitter.
Yeah.
And I look at that Mariners team, and they don't accomplish what they've accomplished this year without him. And what have they accomplished? They won their first AL West title since 2001. Like, I'm sorry. I get that Aaron Judge is worthy of the MVP. If it was any other year and Cal Raleigh didn't do what he did this year, Aaron Judge would win yet again.
Yes.
But Cal Raleigh did what he did.
Yep.
And we've never seen a catcher, an everyday catcher, much less a switch-hitting everyday catcher, do what this guy has done. It's unbelievable, and it needs to be treated as such. I don't care about his damn average. I don't care if he's not top 100 in average in Major League Baseball. That doesn't matter to me. He hit 60 bombs. That's what matters. The Mariners won the division for the first time since 2001. That's what matters.
Well, and also an iconic nickname in the Big Dumper. Let's not forget this, you know.
Iconic. The Big Dumper winning the MVP. I mean, do you feel any different?
No, I don't feel different at all. And it's for every single reason. The number one thing that sticks out to me is catching every game.
Yes.
Even the home runs is ridiculous. The switch hitting is obviously amazing. But these catchers, it's a time where Major League Baseball teams are carrying 2 to 3 catchers to try to get through the season.
I just want to like go through the names that have hit 60 home runs in a year that Cal Raleigh just joined. Aaron Judge, Barry Bonds, Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire, Roger Maris.
It's ridiculous.
Ruth.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Like, it's just like the type of rarefied air he's in. And he's honestly his own guy at this point as a catcher doing that.
Yep.
He's the only one ever to be able to do that.
So and for the Mariners, who historically have been bad.
You got to give it to him. And yeah. I saw someone do this comparison, and I don't mind this comparison in the slightest, right? Where last year you had Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, last two guys for the NFL MVP. Yep. Lamar Jackson has won it a couple times. Surely, great stats, more than deserving.
Yep.
But here's Josh Allen doing it for a worse team with not as much around him and putting up great numbers despite all of that and willing his team to an AFC title game. Like, I think Cal Raleigh is Josh Allen in this situation, yep. And I think Aaron Judge is Lamar Jackson. Like I said, Aaron Judge more than deserving of the MVP if it weren't for Kyle Raleigh.
Or for that guy, yeah.
I think it's pretty simple.
I think you're right.
It's pretty simple.
And finally, let's go to Memphis football. The numbers are in. It's a top 10 viewership day, night for the Memphis Tigers in their game against Arkansas. 2.1 million total for the early kick, ninth highest of the day, Gabe.
That's music to my ears. That's shows you what you need to show to bigger conferences that you can be a draw. Yes, Arkansas helped pretty drastically in that. But you winning that game, you show something to 2.1 million viewers that you don't normally get to show. Now, I have noticed something about the way this season is playing out.
Okay.
There's going to be more opportunities like this.
I agree. Brad.
There's going to be more opportunities. The American has won six games against Power Four competition. You go back through the last 5 years, that's the same amount that they have won against Power Four competition in the out-of-conference, or in the non-con. Mm-hmm. But it kind of feels reminiscent this year. I know that Cincinnati, UCF, and Houston are all gone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they've been gone for some years now. But it's kind of reminiscent of when I was on campus, or a 2018, a 2019, a 2020 before they left, where you have a lot of very good teams that have some marketability in this conference. That game against South Florida on October 25th, I think in all likelihood Memphis could go into that game 7-0, and South Florida could be sitting there at 6-1. Maybe both teams have a number attached to their name. What do the TV networks do with that game? Because I would imagine that should be on just about every TV set in the country.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is we really want South Florida to keep winning ball games because there's a chance. I mean, these power conferences are looking at both teams.
Yes.
South Florida and Memphis are the two that are in the mix.
Yes.
So, like,
and then Tulane. Tulane's kind of they're there, even though they got their brains beat
and it's quality football, decent sized market.
But that game's already ESPN 8 o'clock on a Friday, so that's
the November 7th game.
Yeah, that's out in front of everybody's eyeballs. Yeah. Then the Navy game's ESPN as well. What's Navy going to do between now and then? I'd imagine they'll be a pretty good team again this year throughout the year. So you're going to have more opportunities than normal to really showcase this program, and to already have that Arkansas game get those 2.1 million viewers, and to have a win in front of those 2.1 million viewers, that's very, very important. It just is.
I just hope Memphis keeps winning like this, because you talked about it with Jeff earlier this week on Tuesday. It's like, what do you do when you watch these as a TV executive and you're trying to figure out what's going on with these? It does feel like this is a year that gets set up for you.
Here's the thing. When you watch these, it's TV executives. Yes, you want to, you know, put it in a preferential spot for your network so it gets the most eyeballs. But let's not even act as if TV executives don't have any say over realignment and conversations those power conferences.
They're doing it.
The more that you win, the more that you show out on their network, the more preferential treatment you may get down the line when it comes to realignment.
I just pray that they're not rained out. Like, these games don't get rainy, that it's good weather. We need the football gods to be with us a little bit.
Yeah.
You know,
nice clear days.
You know, like, because we've seen those. You've been part of
it. Offense. Have some fun with it. But here's the thing. With rainy days, this Memphis offense is kind of...
No, it's set up for the run.
Kind of built for that.
I said that before the season started. People were laughing at my whole triple option joke, but I'm like, it's going to be mostly...
You know how many times... Okay, maybe not triple option. You know how many times they've run read option this year,
That... Because it works.
A million times.
They should. They should do that this weekend. They should do that...
What's nice about option plays is the defense cannot really be correct.
Right.
Unless they bring an extra body, in which case you're kind of screwed.
But you've got three guys back there.
They time up a blitz perfectly, and that's how they get an advantage on you. But when you're running read option, yes. You're reading a defensive end. When he squeezes, quarterback keeps right. It. When he attacks when he attacks a quarterback, you hand it off, and Sutton goes for 64 yards.
But you've got all these guys can run.
Yes.
And the backup quarterback can run.
Yeah.
I mean, you got a package for him, too.
That run is still amazing.
It's crazy, man. I've watched it several times because if I want to feel better about it, I'm like, play that again. It's crazy.
It's
mind-blowing. Now, they just move that thing.
And obviously, talking with Ryan here just a second ago, he wasn't even supposed to keep it. Like,
oh, he wasn't.
Obviously, it was a read option, but
that was going nowhere.
The read was technically incorrect because the defensive end was attacking the quarterback. But what he did was kept the ball and ran where the running back was
straight.
Supposed to run.
Yeah.
And Sutton kind of led him through the hole. So
it worked.
Somehow.
But to the lineman's credit, though, everybody was in lockstep. I mean, it worked.
That's something that I was impressed with on Saturday. And I know this is a bit of a sidebar, but hat on a hat. Like, they weren't necessarily engulfing every defensive player in that front seven for Arkansas. But you know what? Man on man.
Yeah.
Sometimes
they were moving.
When you just lock in, sustain a block, guys can make big plays.
And undersized for it. I mean, let's be honest with you. I mean, they had the power to move that thing.
Yeah, besides that right tackle. You seen him, Travis Burke?
He's big. Yeah,
he is
big.
He is a massive.
Ryan's got a couple
being.
Big ones.
I mean,
how big is he?
Tiger basketball, they need some bigs.
Is he 6'7"?
He's 6'9".
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Tiger basketball needs bigs. Does he have a hook shot?
Get a double, deal on that NIL, pal. Yeah.
Come on, if he has a baby hook, why not?
Yeah.
Let's see what happens. All right, that'll do it for the Blitz. One more segment left of the day. We'll go ahead and rewind. But in the rewind today, Talladega Super Speedway's Brian Crichton. He is the president over at Talladega Super Speedway, and the NASCAR playoffs are coming up in October. So we'll talk to him about that.
Yeah, it's all coming together. You know, the team is focused in on, that weekend, that huge playoff weekend that NASCAR has here at Talladega Super Speedway. The place is looking great. We had a competition out here yesterday looking at the racetrack. They checked it all off, so it's coming up, and it's coming up quick.
Yeah, now what all goes into preparing the track for 3 days worth of races and welcoming nearly 100,000 plus per day? That seems like a lot of work.
Yeah, it sure is. You know, it's my favorite question is people ask, hey, what do you do during the in-between races? It's like we're constantly working. We're constantly making the facility better. We're, identifying things. We get the guest surveys back. And so we're always making that guest experience better. Competition, obviously, is huge here at Talladega Super Speedway. So there's always something to do and always things that we can elevate to make it better for, the fans that are coming from all 50 states and 28 different countries to here to little old Talladega, Alabama for that playoff weekend.
All right. Now, Brian, hand up. I fit this criteria. But for folks that have never attended a NASCAR event or been to Talladega, what would you tell them to expect out of the experience at your place?
A complete weekend of activities or a complete day of activities if you're coming out just for the Sunday Cup race. So we've always got something going on. Friday night, we have a rodeo inside of our infield, and that's after the NASCAR Truck Series playoff race on Friday. We have fireworks show on Friday night. Saturday, we've got the Xfinity Series playoff race. We also have a concert that evening from Whiskey Myers. So all you have to do is have a Sunday race ticket. You get to come into our iconic infield on Saturday night for the Whiskey Myers concert and then take in Talladega Boulevard. You know, it's one of those things that you have to see at least once in your lifetime. But we've got Talladega Garage Experience. We've got a fan zone on the outside. That's all free. We'll have 50 different merchandise displays that are there. So there's always something to do at Talladega. So it's not just like you're driving in, getting out, going through the gate up to the stands and watching the race. There is something to do from 6 o'clock in the morning all the way until after the race is over.
Now, as for tickets, Friday and Saturday starts at $55. Of course, Sunday for the Yellowwood 500 starts at $85. And I do understand with what you guys sent me before this interview, for kids 12 and under, nice deal for them.
Yeah, kids 12 and under are free on both Friday and Saturday, and they $50 off any price point on Sunday. So Saturday is a great day to come out. You know, as I mentioned earlier, you have the Xfinity Series playoff race, but you also have Cup qualifying. So you've got both of those on track. So if you haven't been out before and you want to sample NASCAR, come out on Saturday. Kids 12 and under are free. Have great prices there as well. And then we also have great group rates. So whether it's military or first responders, teachers, we've got a whole bunch of different group rates out there as well. So, you know, my suggestion is go to TalladegaSuperspeedway.com to find out about all the activities, all of the special ticket prices and group rates that we have. And, you know, all the information is there. Or if you'd like to talk to a representative, 877-GO-2, and that's the number 2 Dega. 877-GO-2-DEGA.
Perfect. Well, Brian, I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to it. And again, thank you for carving out some time.
Gabe, really thank you very much, and it's going to be a great triple header playoff NASCAR weekend here at Talladega.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, Brian.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.